I'd like us to turn, please, to the first book of Chronicles and read together in chapter 22. The first book of Chronicles and chapter 22. Verse number 11. First Chronicles, chapter 22, and verse 11. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble, the word really is in my affliction, I have prepared for the house of the Lord. Now look, please, at chapter 23. Chapter 28. Reading together, please, for the sake of time, in verse number 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Verse 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service, also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to read again from Haggai. The book of Haggai, please, that our brother has very ably presented to us. And chapter 2, the prophecy of Haggai, and chapter 2. Verse number 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. Zechariah chapter 7, please. Zechariah chapter 7 and Zechariah chapter 7, please, and verse number 13. Therefore it has come to pass, as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I will not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. What a situation is thus described. Now look, please, in these words in chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words, by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. Now we trust the Lord will bless to us this reading of his word with all that has gone before in his name. You'll notice that I'm following the ministry I gave yesterday, I trust by the help of God, in that I've read to you the passages that were very much before me for this meeting, never thinking that our dear brother David would go before me so efficiently and touch on the very same subject. I want you to notice that in these passages, beloved, we have the necessary exhortation for those that are called of God and are fitted of God to build an house for God. David, several times as we have read, encourages his son Solomon to be strong. Be strong. Somehow, David is aware of the need of this. David is aware that God is able to strengthen the heart and the hand and the help that is needed to build according to his mind and will. And thank God it was accomplished under the hand of God. Then we have come to the passage that our brother reminded us so efficiently already, when it needed to be rebuilt. And we've heard of Ezra in chapter 1-6. We've heard of the record that he gives of the exercise of those that responded to the call of God, returned from Babylon, set up the altar, and then laid the foundation of the house. And as they were building that house, there are those that came and said, let us build with thee. I love those words. But there's nothing touches my heart more, brethren, than to read the answer those men of God gave the Samaritans. They said, we will build. No. We ourselves will build. No. Listen to what they said. We ourselves together will build. It's one of the great key words in Ezra. Together. And if there's not a togetherness, my beloved, we're not going to be as efficient nor effective as God would have us be. If you're not in sympathy with the exercise, then you need to hear these words. Together. And if there's anyone in the meeting differing, dividing, dismantling, how serious. So here is the issue. And wonderful to think too, that great moment of their decision was reported to the politicians. And so you had a united enemy, the ecclesiastical and the political. And as our brother could have reminded us, but you know the story, by the time that chapter ends, the work has ceased. Sad, isn't it? I hope you know how many years it was before it ever commenced again. But it did. God raised up the ministry of the two men our brother has emphasized so blessedly, Haggai and Zechariah. And as they came to minister the word of God to those that were rebuilding the house, wonderful to read their ministry, isn't it? And here is Haggai, and three times he's using the word to three distinct classes of people responsible. Be strong. Be strong. That is, draw upon the strength of God to accomplish his will, to accomplish his work, and to accomplish it in the way he would divinely approve. And then, of course, Zechariah, he does the same. Because from chapter 1 of Zechariah to chapter 8, those 8 chapters relate to the period of the rebuilding of the temple, don't they? And those people that came to Zechariah and chapter 7 and 8 are tremendous chapters. But here's Zechariah in the very middle of that great message, be strong. So, beloved, I just want to bring that to your soul this afternoon. I'm obviously repeating the good ministry of our brother, but he'll not mind that. All I want you to realize today, beloved, is this. You and I need to draw upon divine strength to accomplish the will and the work of God. I know we need resources. And I know that in this company of people, there are many that are very, very wondrously blessed of God. But you will understand, beloved, above and beyond your personal and private resources, there is something else we require that gives stability and gives sincerity to the work of God. That is, by being strengthened by his power. Now, let us come then to 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. In verse 11, we have these lovely words. Listen to them. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee. That's his presence. And prosper thou. Verse 12, only the Lord give thee wisdom, discretion, and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Brethren, we need the word. If we're going to do the work, notice that that thou mayest keep the law. As our brother reminded us, in these days, it is sad to reflect and to realize that a tremendous amount of work that began scripturally and solidly based upon the principles of divine truth have been set aside. We have seen this in the land I represent, and that very sadly. I mentioned the Assembly Nepo that has come out. Well, I remember my first few weeks in Malaya, I was in Nepo. I don't know what happened, but they accepted me right away. And they wanted to find me a house and so on, because the Assembly was making tremendous progress in divine things. But I'm just sharing this with you. The senior missionary wasn't around, so I didn't like to intrude in his absence. But when he did return, that dear brother sent for me. He came from New Zealand. And I had a long discussion with him. He was very kind to us. And he would have been very anxious for me to have responded. Well, whether I did the will of God or not, that is not my question just now. If you had gone to that assembly when I did in 1957, you'd have found it just exactly as you would expect any company to be. But if you went today, the front of the platform is down, and on the platform are drums and bugles and fiddles, and that's how they handle the word today. Sad, isn't it? Now, brethren, I'm appealing to you, as Brother David did. You have a book. You know the mind of God. You know the tendencies that can arise. We prayed to God that you will be guided and guarded by God to build the house as he himself hath given you charge concerning Israel, concerning his principles, concerning his word. You might find it difficult. You might find it unpleasing. But those of us, and I trust that I can include everyone in this meeting this afternoon, that is willing to bow to the word of God, will find comfort and a unity that will build the house for God according to his word. Now look, please, at chapter 28 very quickly. Chapter 28. You notice that David again in verse 2 says, "Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. And he had made ready for the building." That's resolve, isn't it? Now, I know what follows, but God said unto me, "Thou shalt not build an house," and we understand God's reasonings. But I ask myself the question to you and to me, could I put my name at this moment of time in that lovely verse number 2? It is in my heart to build an house for the rest of the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God and made ready for the building. Well, now, I would like to think that each assembly represented in this lovely audience this afternoon are contributing to a place where God can rest, the footstool of our God. Not good? Just to think that this was David's desire. Just to think that this was David's determination. Among other things, just to have the presence of God in all its approval, in all its acceptance, in all its divine ability. Is that me? Is that you? Next, please. I love these words. And in verse number 10, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong. Be strong and do it. Now look what follows. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern. Look at that. Verse 12, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. Not good. The pattern that he had by the Spirit. In other words, David is advising his son, don't you bring anything in that would contradict the Spirit of God. Is that our willingness? Is that our readiness? And if we're looking for blessing, and we're asking God for blessing, surely, beloved, we will conform to these lovely words of David. And no wonder he says to Solomon, Solomon, you'll need all the strength that is required to accomplish this building in terms of God's pleasure and presence. Verse 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me to understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until all the work of the service of the house of the Lord is finished. I would love to grasp that promise tonight. I want you, beloved, to do so. We're thankful for the statement our brother has made relative to the need in that area known to you. I've never been there. But I trust that in such an audience of devotion, with spiritual determination, we will hear of an exercise. We will hear of those that will respond as David is urging his son to do, be strong and of good courage and do it. And do it. Will you not? What a disappointment. I would say what a disaster. To think that that area is going to be bereft of a vital, valid, valuable testimony. And after all, beloved, if I'm urging you, you're saying, well, what do you do? Well, I think I've told you something of our exercise over these many years. And what God can do in all the simplicity of our labor, we are thankful to God for his help and for his imparted strength to accomplish his will and his word in an area in which we serve God. Now, what about you? You'll notice that David has certain things to say. He says, back in the other chapter, he said, "As far as I'm concerned, Solomon, what I've done is this. I have offered to God certain things out of my affliction." Now, I'm sure that David is acknowledging that although he knew the blessing of God, there were things in his life and in his service and in his resources that cost him something. But he said, "I've offered these." Now look what he says in verse 3 of chapter 29. It's not now affliction. "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and so on to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." Not lovely. His affliction, his affection. Have you done that? Have I? In the testimony in which you're associated, beloved, where it is, you know. How it is progressing, you are aware. But could I ask you one question as I close my short word? Is it the object of your affection? Well, I think most of us can truthfully say it is. But there are younger believers that need to be brought into the reality of a full orb devotion to the Word of God, to the will of God, and to the ways of God. Though it may cost, that's what David calls his affliction. Though it may challenge, that's what he calls his affection. What did it result in? Well, thank God the moment came. You know it well. When that house was built, and let me just digress a moment. If you went to the first and second book of Kings and had a good read of how the writer of that great book tells you of what Solomon did, you'll find that the record is divided into five sections. Five sections. In order to get this, you'll see that he tells us what he did, how he did it, and as I've said, the record in 1 Kings is divided into five distinct sections. And the house was built. But that's not all that's in those two books, is it? No. Now, what you'll find is this. The record that follows, right from the days of Rehoboam until the time in the last book of Kings when the house was removed, that section, that long section, is divided into five. In other words, there are five houses. Now, the word house, in the context that I'm using it now, is not a building, but it's the resources of the nation. The house of this one, the house of that one, five. If you put those five accounts or five divisions in relation to the house of God, and the five houses that are recorded in the reaction to the house of God, you'll have a wonderful study of 1 and 2 Kings to find that the day came when it vanished. What is my record going to be up there? I trust God will bless his word.